Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Live from downtown San Francisco, this is 95.7 The Game.
161 games in the books, and we are still not determine who is the divisional champ.
Crazy.
Out of the National League West. Niners, Seahawks. Man, it is good to be alive. Hi again, everybody. It is Dan Devone alongside, and I am telling you, this is the best dressed radio sportscaster slash TV man you will see in studio in 97 The Game in the next 5 years, including the last 5 years. Jason, what's going on, my man? Take me through your day today.
Hey, what's up, brother? You know, waking up with you guys, 10 to 12, 95.7 The Game, my radio family. We're going to lead you guys right up to the Giants, the 49ers. Then heading down the Embarcadero to go to Oracle Park, catch the Giants game, do some coverage from the game. And then I'm in the studio tonight at Crown 4 News, chatting everything that happened today. So just living the dream, man.
You're looking good, man. What kind of, how do you describe that? Is that a checkered suit? You got it's a little cream color, a little white, a little black going on there.
I don't know what to call the actual pattern, but it's like a dark navy and white. So it's dark enough where it looks black too. So I can go to black with it. I can go brown with it. It's a versatile suit.
You're like the Giants, man. Yeah. Versatility, it's all about. You got to watch out from a TV veteran. I'm just telling you that it doesn't jump, right?
Yeah.
You make sure those patterns don't do that weird thing
exactly.
On TV.
That's why I have a bold tie. I can't have anything on the tie when I wear a suit like that, or it'll just be too much going on.
All right, let's get into it. We're going to go Giants first. We have to. How can you ignore what's going on at Oracle? Then we will get you ready. And I'm telling you, man, you're ready to headbutt somebody. They have not given me a live mic, Evan, as well as Sterling on a game day. I got the war paint on. I'm ready to go. Ev, how are you today? Football Sunday, you ready to go, my man?
It's a big day in the Bay, just for sports in general.
You can tell me to stop screaming if you want.
No, keep up the energy, man. I mean, this is the biggest game, obviously, of the season for the Giants and arguably for the 49ers as well. A lot going down on both sides in the South Bay and Santa Clara as well as up here at Oracle Park. No, it's a great day to be Jack. Keep up the energy.
All right, here we go. So let's start it with the Giants. So it looks good, right? It's coming down to one game. I want to start here, and I'm going to throw a little praise to the Los Angeles Dodgers. And that's hard for me to do. Grew up in San Francisco. Hate that team. Hate everything about L.A. I mean, I don't hate. I mean, I guess I'm envious. When you're in San Francisco and you grow up at Candlestick and you're freezing your butt off and you got 1,500 people that are huddled because you're freezing, you're throwing stuff at a crazy crab, and you look at Chavez Ravine, there's 40,000 of the prettiest people all suntan and cheering for a team that's kicking your butt every year. That's where I'm at in terms of my DNA. But when you think about the Dodgers, Jace, hey, man, they have got the heart of a champion. They are not making this thing easy. They are the divisional champs for the last decade plus, and they are going out swinging.
Yeah. I'll go one step past you. I can't stand the Dodgers. I can't stand them. But the respect is there. Like, what they are doing, I have for at least a week now just thought they're going to lay down. Okay,
like, at least lose one.
Yeah, we see the like mathematics. We're not gonna win this division. You know, let's just refocus and get ready for this wild card. They're not doing it. And now all the pressure is on the Giants. Now the Giants have dealt with pressure in the best possible way all season long, so I'm not concerned. I think the Giants take care of business today, but the pressure is on them. If if they lose this game today and then have to play a one-game playoff at Oracle Park, it's not an ideal situation.
No, it's not. And the Dodgers are showing no signs of giving up whatsoever. They got one against Milwaukee, and the Giants have one today against the San Diego Padres. Now, here's the thing for the Giants is that they still control their own fate. They still control their own destiny.
It's one win.
You win one, you get it. And that really has to be the focus, right? Forget about the we can watch the scoreboard. You got Logan Webb. He's been your ace in the second half of the season. It's set up well for them just to take care of what's on their plate.
Yeah, 100%. And look, the Giants are not focused on the Dodgers. I have been trying to pull a soundbite out of Gabe Kapler on the Giants for a week now. He won't take the bait. I believe he's not being coy. They're like, look, we're not focused on any other team. We're focused on ourselves. We have tunnel vision. We want to be the best versions of ourselves. We get our motivation from within our clubhouse, not because the Dodgers are playing well. He won't even mention the Dodgers by name. I've been trying to get him to all week. He looks at me like, Jason, I'm not. Stop it. He gets frustrated. But then we chat after, and he knows exactly what I'm doing. But that's why the Giants are so good. Like, they are so even-keeled. You know, I saw Brandon Crawford walking out the stadium yesterday. I know I'm leaving the stadium about 2 hours after the final pitch because I had TV stuff to do. Brandon Crawford is relaxed, chill. You would never know. Like, but that's what makes them
nice.
That's what makes them so good. You know, they never get too high. They never get too low. What was it, about 2 weeks ago when the Dodgers tied them up in the standings and everybody's like, oh, man, the Dodgers are going to run away with it now. Did they? No. This is a great team. They're not concerned with that team down south. I know the fan base is, and that's what makes it so fun because we're going to look at this division race, you know, after this season when we look back. It's one of the best division races in MLB history.
106 wins against 105 wins, and things are undecided. I said this yesterday on the air with Jim Cosimore, the great Jim Cosimore. If this is the Yankees and the Red Sox, I mean, this is breaking news. This is all you hear about 24/7 from a national perspective. But because, and I think it's because it's the Giants. They still don't have that national acclaim. For whatever reason, this is something that's still on the back burner. Or to put it in your terms, it's like number four on the rundown. Like, it's still not. This is one of the most epic, one of the most remarkable stories we've seen in baseball in recent memory. A team at 106 wins, a team at 105 wins, going right down to the nub, down to the final day of the regular season to determine who is the divisional champ. I want to go here just for a second. People have said this is so unfair that a team that's going to be at 105 wins or 106 wins goes in a play-in game. And we got to do something about that. We got to do something about, you know, sort of how they have structured the postseason. Cosimore came up with it was an idea of just sort of shorten the season. I want to simplify and just get your thoughts on this. What about this? If there's a five, I heard this actually, so I'm stealing this. I'm pilfering from, I believe, the MLB network or a variation thereof. If there's a five-game differential between one of the wild card teams, meaning you're the Dodgers, you've won 106 games, you're taking on the Cardinals, they've won, 87 or in the low 90s. Five-game differential. The Cardinals got to beat them twice. And the Dodgers, they just got to win once. You think that's fair going forward?
No.
Really? All right. Well, the end of that.
Wait, well, look. You got to understand this. This division race that we're seeing this year, it's great, and it stinks that either just from a totality of a baseball fan, it stinks that one of these teams has a chance to see their season end in one game after conventionally being the second best team in baseball. Whoever falls into that wild card spot is going to have the second best record in the majors this year, and it could all go poof in one to Adam Wainwright on the Cardinals.
Yep.
But this isn't you don't see this very often. So I think this is an exception. I wouldn't change any rules because of what's happening this year. I actually do think the one game playoff is really exciting. It's really cool. This is just one of those years where it's like, that stinks. I mean,
so you're one of those. Not everything's perfect in the world. Not everything's perfect.
Exactly.
In Major League Baseball, just deal with it.
Exactly. Just deal with it, because next year we're probably not going to see this. Next year, the one game wild card is probably going to be two mid 80 win teams.
All right, 888-957-9570. That's 888-957-9570. We want to hear from you. You want to get into the Niners? We can. Right now, we're just kicking off with the Giants, Dodgers, Giants, and the Padres. Let's just talk about today's game. You got Logan Webb. This is perfect for the Giants. I mean, if I had to decide who I want on the bump for one game, I'm going with the kid, because it's an opportunity for him to graduate to being a man. You're getting your manhood as a major league. You're getting your major league stones today. You're getting your major league onions, if you know what I mean.
Is this the birds and the bees game?
This is it, man. This is what it's all about. You're graduating. And we're going to find out a lot more, because this kid has never pitched in a game this big. But it's set up well. But the one thing that is always going to be in the back of my mind, and it's going to hang around this team, is the absence of Brandon Belt from here on out.
Yeah, that was terrible, man. I mean, there's no other way to say it. He's probably not going to play again this year.
No.
Like, even so, my man Andrew Baggerly for The Athletic reported that it's going to – they feel like he's going to be out at least 4 weeks. And the day he reported that, the World Series game one was 4 weeks from that day. So, like, you got to even get there. And even if you get there, it's going to be tough to see him come back. He's the captain. They were wearing captain shirts for Belt yesterday. And, yo, I saw a stat, D, on Twitter yesterday. It's amazing. So, the last 21 games, guess the Padres record. Just throw out a guess. In the last 21 games.
Last 21 games for the Padres,
mm-hmm.
I'll go 7-14.
They're 4-17. Guess,
wow.
Guess all four wins. Guess who they came against?
Who's that?
The Giants.
Really?
All four wins in their last 21 games have come against the Giants.
Well, that's an interesting stat.
Yeah.
Wow. So
they're just a thorn in the Giants. I mean, not even a thorn. Like, the Giants aren't concerned about them, but I mean, even though they underachieved this year, they haven't been healthy, their pitching staff is a mess. When you have Tatis and Machado in that lineup, you can always beat anyone, because those are two of, like, the top 10 baseball players in the world.
Yeah, and you've got, you know, Hosmer, and they spent so much money, and Darvish in that rotation. I mean, it's one of the most – I mean, if you were to tell me at the beginning of the season that it's going to be the Padres that – may or may not fire their manager, or a team that's looking to play spoiler.
Bochy's going to be coaching them.
You really think so?
Yeah, I do.
Really? You're going to dust off Boch and prop him up out there and say, you don't think this game's passed him by?
I do. I'm not into, like, the old guys, like, reliving their glory years, but he said he wants it. He said he misses the game and wants to coach again. He's going to have teams bowing at him to sign him.
Tony La Russa is 6 years older than Bruce Bochy.
I know.
I don't think Tony La Russa should be, like, I feel like I like seeing new people get opportunities to flourish, like young guys, especially in the world of coaching. Like, I hate when I see these coaches get recycled, when I know there's dozens of assistant coaches all around the country who've been grinding, who have the talent to lead a team. But we're going to call this old dog who's been fired three different times in the last 40 years.
Is somebody dust off Jeff Van Gundy one more time? Or what's his brother's name?
Stan.
Somebody gets...
Give me a break.
Ron Jeremy's twin again and props him up, man. I'm going to projectile vomit. I've seen enough of that guy.
Like,
but
that.
I think that's true for the NBA. But when it comes to Major League Baseball, it's really about, can you win? And it's a copycat league. And to Ev's point... Hey, man, Tony La Russa, I don't know what it is that you're doing, man, but the White Sox, they're headed to the postseason like a bullet. And the same with Dusty Baker. I mean, how old is Dusty?
Dusty Baker's 72.
72 years old, so.
That's a good number.
Yeah, maybe there's something to it. So we'll find out as to whether or not Bruce Bochy. What do you think, Giant fans out there? 888-957-9570. Boch back in a Padre dugout and being the captain of that team. But as it relates to the Giants today, do you see them taking care of business? Is Logan Webb just going to just take this thing, end it, not even worry about the Dodgers? And you don't want to back into the playoffs. Win that thing decisively. Get drunk tonight. Get drunk maybe tomorrow. And then focus on the postseason.
Yeah, I think they're going to take it tonight. You know, every time it hasn't been very often because this team has been winning at such a high clip, but every time this team does have its back against the wall, they respond in the right way. They're going to respond tonight. I mean, they just lost the game. I mean, what, they had won six straight, they lost the game? Like, yeah, the situation makes it seem like a worse loss than it is. They'll bounce back. They'll win. Logan Webb's been one of the best pitchers in the majors the second half of the season. Like, he has Cy Young numbers if you just go from the second half. He's going to come out tonight, today, I should say, pitch a great game, and the Giants are going to finally take that bubbly off ice. It's been waiting on ice for, what, 3 days now?
Yeah, and you mentioned how you saw Brandon Crawford, and Brandon Crawford was so chill. He's always chill. But, you know, how often do we talk about the leadership of this team, the experience of this team, the fact that the core of this team has won three World Series, and we're talking about Crawford, and we're talking about Posey, and we're talking about one Brandon Belt. And that goes a long way, because you got to make sure, as AI once said, that people's butt cheeks aren't getting tight. And you got to make sure that, you know, the likes of Yastrzemski or maybe this kid Logan Webb or some of these guys who have not
Lamont
been.
Lamont Wade, all these guys.
They look across from their stall, or they see, you know, someone being chill like that of a Brandon Crawford, and it goes a long way, right? I mean, this is what the leadership is all about. It's for games like this, and it's for this time of the year.
100%. You know, that type of clout just resonates through a clubhouse. Like, if I'm out with someone who just has an amazing resume, is confident, doesn't even have to talk up his accomplishments because they speak to themselves, I'm going to be more confident just standing shoulder to shoulder with them. So, you know what I mean? Like, we chatted with Evan Longoria. We chatted with him after the game yesterday. Cool as a fan, man. These guys aren't worried. They're going to take care of business. Even if they lose today, say they lose today and they have to play the Dodgers tomorrow on a one-game playoff, I'm still confident. I'm still confident. This team has – we have come too far, and this team has not given me enough reasons not to be confident in them. They respond to adversity every single time they've dealt with it.
So let me give you this scenario, and it's a worst-case scenario, but just stay with me. 888-957-9570. They lose today. They play in this playing game against the Dodgers, and the Dodgers have been red hot. Let's say the Dodgers win on Monday. Mm-hmm. Giants got a one-game play-in game against
the Cardinals on Wednesday. Wainwright.
And Wainwright's going to be – let's just say it's 3 hours of Wainwright and he goes off. And the Giants – because the Giants could be scuffling for a starting pitcher at that juncture, right? Because I don't know if Gossman will be ready to go.
Yeah. Probably just
– and you're not going to throw Logan Webb. You got to be confident in DeScalfani. But let's just say that they lose three in a row. Or actually, it'll be four in a row. If they lose four in a row, is this season a disappointment? Is this season going to be thought of, wow, 6 months of dominance, and now we're going home? Or is it going to be, hey, listen, man, take a step back. Look how much we overachieved. Which one is it?
Nah, it'd be a disappointment.
Right?
100%. Like, no one expected the Giants to be here. They were projected to win 78 games. They won 78. They had their 78th win like 2 months ago. They're at 106. So the expectations got adjusted for everyone, you know, like a month ago, even more than that, they're like, okay, the expectations changed from, oh, we're just here for the ride, it's fun while it lasts, to we want to win a World Series. So if they were to lose a one game wild card on Wednesday to the Cardinals, if they get in that position, yes, it would be a disappointment. No one would be like, but man, it was fun. They won 106. It would be a disappointment. Maybe 2 years from now, or even 6 months from now, when you look back, it was like, that was a fun year, maybe. But in the moment, no, just super disappointment. But I don't even think they're gonna, I hope they don't get in that position.
Yeah, but I'm with you, is that sometimes, you know, we can have such pragmatists out here in the Bay Area. Think about the big picture. Think about the future.
I don't relate to that.
No, man.
I don't relate to that. I guess maybe it's a Philly in me. People are like, oh, we're along for the ride. What? No. We got to win.
One of the dumbest things I've ever heard.
Exactly.
You know, expectations change, man. The beginning of the season was the beginning of the season. And everybody said, well, listen, just get to 500. And then they played well. Hey, just get into the playoffs as a wild card. Hey, you know, no. You're a good baseball team. You established yourself as a good baseball team. Win the damn division. Win the World Series. That it should be World Series or bust. To me, anything short of that is a disappointment.
Yeah. I mean, look, the way this season has been going, if just like the trend this season has been going is indicative on what's going to happen, it's going to be Dodgers, Giants in the divisional playoff series.
Can you imagine? Heads are going to explode.
Explode. Oh, my Lord. Like, it's going to be nuts. You got Red Sox, Yankees. But outside of Red Sox, Yankees, I think Giants, Dodgers is the best rivalry in baseball.
Certainly out here on the West Coast. And at some point, and it's going to, you know what's going to happen? This happens every year. The switch is going to go on to the postseason. Because it's going to be an opportunity for, and I don't blame America. Whether you're in the Midwest, whether you're in the Southwest, whether you're out on the East Coast, you just haven't seen the Giants. And once it gets unveiled who this story is, the David and Goliath, when all of that stuff is revisited and you're going to recognize this is the little team that could, and this is the team that's playing with all of these fringe roster guys and these older players, they're going to be beloved. And they're going to make the cover of something, Sports Illustrated, TV Guide, they'll take it at this point. And then suddenly there's going to be this groundswell in the postseason. Everybody, they're going to be doing late night talk show. And it's all going to be about the Giants. But the light's not going to go on until they step on that main stage in the postseason.
Yeah, this division race, I don't know the exact numbers, so don't quote me. I saw something on Twitter a couple days ago. There was a division race like in the early 2000s. Between the Seattle Mariners and it was the A's. It was the Mariners and the A's. I think that division race didn't get settled until like one of the last game days in the seasons, and each team had like 107 wins. But outside of that, this is the craziest division race in the history of baseball, and no one is talking about it. No one. The National, like, could you imagine if this was the Red Sox-Yankees racing for the AL East? No one has been talking about this. No national pundits. This is craziness. You know, West Coast, East Coast gets a little biased. Most of the country is sound asleep when the Giants are finishing up every night. You know, like, I'm getting off air after the game, and all my friends on East Coast, they've been in bed two hours. It's 1:30 in the morning for them. So I get it, but to your point, When these two teams are in prime time, especially if they play in a playoff series, the national media will shed a light on this, and the nation is finally going to see, wow, this is a crazy storyline.
Yeah, I think it all starts today. There's going to be a rabid crowd out there, hopefully going to sell that thing out. If you don't sell out tonight, then forget about it. You may not sell out Game 7 of a World Series.
Look, they did, and I hate that it's doing this. They are going against the Niners. I'm not saying one should be more important than the other, but you're going to, if they don't sell out, it might be because there's a game in Santa Clara that's going to draw a lot of people too. Some people are just football people. That's what I know the Giants organization, obviously they can't think this way. They just want to win games. They're focused on baseball, but people in that organization were probably so ticked off that they lost yesterday because now they – Not only did they not win the division yesterday, but now they have to go against the 49ers for ratings, just fans. It's a lot going on.
There's a lot going on, but the Bay Area should be able to support it.
Yeah.
So the Bay Area, this is what I want. This is a scenario I want to see today, is that it's sold out at Oracle. Obviously, we know you're going to get a sellout for the Niners and the Seahawks. We're going to talk about them coming up in just a bit. But at about, I don't know, maybe at about midway in the third quarter, start of the fourth quarter, the PA out there at Levi Stadium is going to turn his on switch, and in front of those 65,000 fans, he's going to say, ladies and gentlemen, an update from Oracle Park in San Francisco. The Giants 7, the Padres nothing, going into the ninth inning, and that place is going to go nuts, and it's going to be on. It is going to be on not only locally, that people are going to return to that 10, 12, and 14 rabid excitement World Series, but the country is going to be focused in on the Giants. And God bless the Giants. Because they've gone 6 months with complete disrespect, getting kicked in the teeth. Nobody cares about this team. Who are you people? You're going to be afterthoughts when we get to September and October. You got no one. You got old men. It's no country for old men and a bunch of fringe players, but here they are. We're ignoring the phone line. Really quick, let's go out to Mitch off to Jersey on the Giants and the postseason. Mitch, what do you got, my man? Welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for taking my call off. I have a sense that if they don't get to the go deep in the playoffs, it'll be disappointing. By my sense from over here, it's like the Giants are the big surprise. I mean, I was waiting for the wheels to fall off, to tell you the truth. And both teams should be support. I mean, Oakland has moved away. The A's are on the road. I mean, I hope you guys can keep the Athletics in Oakland. No, come on. And one more question. What do you think of the National League Cy Young and MVP? I don't think it's becoming for the Dodgers and Giants. I don't know if I repeated myself already, but I think it's going to be an interesting race.
Yeah, no, it's a
great question.
Mitch, really quick before you go, what are you eating for dinner out in Jersey? And give me something very Jersey-esque. It better be Italian.
I've been on vacation. I've been eating enough Italian and burgers and barbecues. I don't want to look at red meat or pasta. I'm going for chicken holiday.
All right, Mitch, you just hit me in the gut, man. That hurts. I went out to Jersey and you're eating chicken. Come on, kind of come stronger than that. Before we get to the break, really quick, let's stay on the phone lines and go out to Fillmore, Mike. Oh, Mike, tell me you're in the city. Are you representing Fillmore, Mike?
What you say?
Are you in Fillmore? Are you in the city?
Oh, I'm on a bridge. I'm on a bridge, but yeah, I'm heading into the city.
What's up? What's on your mind?
Oh, man, I just want to say it's a beautiful sports Sunday, man. You feel me? You got the Niners from the Eastern Seahawks.
Let's go.
You got the Giants going to go to the playoffs. You got Warriors. You got Steph Curry crossing over Kuminga, killing him with the hesitation.
Ooh, I saw that video. That was crazy.
I know you from Philly.
Yeah.
I know you from Philly. The Bay, bruh, we can fill up all these stadiums. We some real sport heads out here. The A's will be cracking the Giants, the Warriors, and the Niners. We can fill and the Sharks. We can fill it up, man. Y'all have a nice one.
I appreciate you, bro.
That's Fillmore, Mike, getting us. Thank you, Fillmore. And I tell you what, they have never put me on a Sunday for a pregame show, but we are going to scream for the next hour and a half because he's spot on. If you like sports and you're not excited, and I mean you can get sexually excited to that level today when you're talking about the Niners,
really like
the Seahawks, and you're talking about the Giants. Did I go too far?
No, I'm rolling with you, bro. Bro. If you go too far, I'm going to walk in the door with you.
All right, my man.
We're co-hosts.
Jason Dumas, the best-looking guy right now in television, in radio, alongside Dan Avone. We're going to keep you going right up until 12 o'clock. Much more. Straight ahead, we're going Niners. I don't need to tease that. We're going Niners. Don't move. 95.7, the game continues after this.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
If you like sports and you're not excited, and I mean you can get sexually excited to that level today when you're talking about the Niners, really like the Seahawks, and you're talking about the Giants. Did I go too far?
Now back to 95.7 The Game.
Look, D, I'm a team player, so whether you went too far or not, I'm with you, man. I don't abandon the ship.
What you get for hanging with a guy from Philly, man. Yeah. Stay with you for life.
Unwavering loyalty, for better or worse.
A little sexual healing from Marvin Gaye to get us going on a Sunday. Why not? Does not get much better than this. The Giants win one, you go to the, you win the division, you're off to the playoffs. And of course, the 49ers in a must-win game against the Seattle Seahawks in a big one. These two, every time a game has been played, I think the last three have been decided in overtime. Really quick, let's get to the text line. We've been ignoring the text. This is from Seamus in Napa. We are barbecuing ribeye steaks for the Niners game.
Oh, good for you. Right? I wish I was there.
In the Giants game, we are sipping champagne. All right, sipping champagne. There you go. What I tell you what, hit us up. 888-957.
We're not sipping. If they win the division, we're not sipping. We're pouring it on our heads.
Shake it up and let it go. 888-957-9570. Tell me what, you don't have to tailgate, but if you are tailgating, you go to the game, tell me what's on the grill. What is it that you're eating? Or if you're at home, what are you doing for dinner? How are you prepping for today's game? Or it could be lunch, what you're doing after the game. Let's get out to the phone line because it's stacking up really quick, Chase. Munzio, we're going back out to Jersey. Munzio, what's going on? What's on your mind? Welcome to the show.
Not much. I'm watching you guys on the internet, and today, homemade cavatelli. We've got some brajoles, some meatballs, and we put an eye of the round in the oven. We have some nice beef with red sauce, and I make a lot of wine, so we drink a lot of wine for the game.
Beautiful. A little bacala, maybe?
Maybe later.
That's good stuff. So, are you eating that with the pasta, and you're getting ready for the game, or what's the main course in all of that?
The main course is the eye of the round, but we have the pasta on the side with the brajole and the meatball, and my wife is making the cavatelli right now. But we usually eat around 3:30 on a Sunday, but we're going to watch the games and just eat all day long.
Yeah, that's exactly what my relatives do in Jersey. My dad's half Italian, and he lives out there. My family's out there in Jersey, my relatives, and that's exactly what they do. They start actually a little bit earlier than that. And the other side of my family is from Hawaii. So they start pregame, and they start eating. It's an entirely different menu, but they eat as early. Anything else on your mind? You just wanted to give me the recipe and the menu today.
I just want to give you the recipe. And Jimmy Garoppolo, he's a good quarterback. He proved last week he could bring it down. But, you know, the defense, they got to step up 37 seconds. Come on.
Munzio, thank you so much. Yeah, you know what? How different could that narrative be had Jimmy Garoppolo stuck it in the end zone? The defense did their part. All week, we're just singing the praises of Garoppolo and that two-minute drive.
It was bittersweet. Like, you got the great drive from Jimmy G, and all is well, and 37 seconds with no timeouts. That was unbelievable. Unbelievable. What a week it's been, just sports week it's been here in the Bay. This has to be, as it currently stands today, right now at 10:36 on October 3rd, this has to be the best sports market in the country.
But, you know, with 37 seconds to go, they got no timeouts. I know it's Aaron Rodgers. But come on, man. If you're the best defensive front, you know, Dee Ford, we're talking about Bosa, we're talking about Armstead, we're talking about Jones, and we're talking about Kentavious Street, all the depth they have, at least get him off his spot. At least have him throw from a different level, you know? Pressure him. You sack him and the game's over. That's the opportunity when you make that identity, right, Chase? I mean, do not put this on Garoppolo. It was a very Garoppolo-esque game. The dude threw the ball backwards at one point and took a penalty. And then, of course, he marches your team down the field. That's him, man.
And after the game, Jimmy G was like, yeah, it was an unfortunate call. Jimmy, it was the right call, bro. He just didn't know on that backwards pass.
Oh, yeah, when he said the referees, he got, yeah.
Yeah. No, Jimmy, it was the right call. It was the right call. There's no room for interpretation. It was pretty clear you messed up. But that's neither here nor there. Jimmy is this team's starting quarterback. I get why fans want Trey Lance, and I know that narrative is going to be here regardless, but all they have to do is listen to the head coach. He's been saying since the day Trey Lance was drafted, Trey Lance is not going to be the starter this year. Kyle Shanahan has never wavered in his rhetoric. So all this quarterback competition, this, that, whether you want it or not, all the discussion of it is being regurgitated by media and the fans. In that building, there's no gray area. Jimmy Garoppolo is the starter. Trey Lance will be the backup. Next year, Trey Lance will take over for Jimmy G. But if Trey Lance is starting at any point this year, it will probably not be a good situation.
Let's get out to the phone lines once again, off to Berkeley, and let's say hello to Nick on a Sunday, on a game day Sunday. Nick, welcome to the show. What's up, my man?
Oh, man, I'm fired up, man. That little comment you made, man, I nobody even heard that, man. I don't even know what you're talking about. So, yeah, anyways, yeah, it was smooth. I don't think anyone knows. And then man, I'm really fired up with the Giants. We came all this way, man. We cannot lose now. I'll be devastated. And, man, Jimmy G is going to reel it in, man. He's going to get off the hot seat. He's going to settle down, and he's going to lead us to the Super Bowl, man. And then I don't know what we're going to do once he wins the Super Bowl. And, you know, we're not going to get rid of Trey Lance, I don't think. But, Jim, it might be hard to let a Super Bowl quarterback go, but that's might just how it has to be. But I think Jimmy's going to do it, man.
Nick, what do you think, really quick before we let you go, what do you think about the packages for Trey Lance? Do you want to see Trey Lance in the game, splitting a little time or getting on the field? Or do you want to see Jimmy G the full four quarters?
I would like to see Jimmy G for the full four quarters, unless there's no flow to the game like there was the last couple games. I mean, if they're practicing, Trey Lance going in, using packages in practice, then why not do it in the game? Because it's disrupting the flow, you know what I mean? Either way, you know what I mean? Like, if you put him in, if you're working on it in practice, then you're having some type of flow. But then you don't do it in the games, it's kind of disruptive. But I don't know, the play calling was a little lackluster. And, I don't need all these check down passes. I need to stretch Debo and them out. Like, if our running game isn't working, we gotta stretch the defense across the field, man, create some gaps, at least for the running backs a little bit.
Good call. Thanks so much, Nick. You know, that drive by Garoppolo, as I talked about, he did some things that was very Jimmy Garoppolo-esque. He missed some guys, threw the ball backwards, but when it counted, that drive was not – don't just discount that, yeah, Jimmy G got him into the end zone. That was big boy football. What he did was Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers-esque, going down the field in the closing moments of a contest and sticking it in the end zone. And let me tell you something. He did not – that was a muddy pocket he was throwing in. And he was putting it on guys, and he was fitting it into tight – windows, and he was getting smashed the minute he released the ball. That, let me tell you something, that what Jimmy Garoppolo did, you cannot waver. That was as good as it gets. But unfortunately, for whatever reason, we're going to focus on the negative because they lost the game.
I mean, that's just the reality of sports. It doesn't matter all the, I mean, even though Jimmy had that really, really good 2-minute drill to give the Niners the lead, and for about 5 minutes, he was the hero, and that we all thought that the Niners would be, what, 3-0? Was that their third game? 3-0, 3-0, right? You also got to factor in, they were in that spot because he was bad all the entire first half, you know? So you got to take the good with the bad. I think Jimmy does get beaten up a little too much, you know, by the fan base. I think he's a good quarterback. I don't think he's a great quarterback. I think he's a good quarterback. There's only like 5 great quarterbacks right on the planet. So, like, you got to keep it all in perspective. No, he's not a great quarterback, but most teams don't have great quarterbacks. A lot of teams don't even have good quarterbacks. I think Jimmy Garoppolo is a good quarterback. But he didn't play all that great leading up to that last drive. I do think he deserves some criticism. But this offense, this 49ers offense concerns me. Like, before the season, I thought this was a Super Bowl roster. I don't anymore. I don't think they have the capabilities on offense to win. and their defense isn't as stout as I want as it was in 2019. It's still a good defense, a solid defense, although their corners are terrible. But this offense is it's frightening. They can literally go like three quarters without having a first down, not even a touchdown.
What is it specifically about the offense?
Well, their running game is non-existent. That's what Kyle Shanahan's always leaned on. Their running game, they have no Raheem Mostert this year. Their top two running backs, as it stands right now, Elijah Mitchell and Trey Sermon, they're rookies.
Yeah.
They're rookies. And Trey Sermon has been wildly disappointing in the grand scheme. He's still young. He can still get it together. I thought it was a great pick at the time. He was a stud at Ohio State last year, but he hasn't really found his way. The only reason he's even getting carries is because of the injuries to this team. Like, he wasn't even active week one. He wasn't even on the active roster. And he was a third-round pick, I believe. So it's concerning. Kyle Shanahan's offense gets opened up by his run game. It always has. He's able to be innovative and make things happen when the running game is going. And
sets up that play action.
Yeah, and the running game has been mediocre at best.
But, you know, stay with that point for a second. So, and this is from Ev, the producer, who puts together our rundown, and he has something interesting that I wanted to sort of talk about and let you sort of feed off of that. Let's just say Trey Sermon isn't who they thought he was, and he misses on another draft pick. Who's under the bigger microscope going forward? Is it Kyle Shanahan or Jimmy G? When you consider Trey Sermon, even going back to Javon Kinlaw and that arthritic knee, which continues to plague him, I mean, this is now beginning, we're beginning to witness a trend here on missing out on guys when it comes to the draft. Who's under the microscope more? Do you put Kyle Shanahan and or Jimmy G?
Right now is Jimmy G because he's the easy scapegoat. But I think by the end of this season, the patience is going to be up with Kyle Shanahan. Like, people are starting to, like, get privy, like, is this the guy who can lead us to a Super Bowl? He has this year. He has Jimmy G as his scapegoat. He's not intentionally using Jimmy G as a scapegoat, but I'm just saying the media narrative, the fan base narrative, Jimmy G is going to be the scapegoat. But at the end of this year, especially if it ends on a non-playoff spot or early playoff exit, that's when all of a sudden the microscope is going to turn to Kyle Shanahan and he's going to be on the hot seat, especially if Trey Lance is your starter next year. It's going to be it. If Trey Lance struggles and doesn't look the part, or the Niners struggle next year, Kyle Shanahan will be out of here, and probably John Lynch with him.
You know, I think that Kyle Shanahan is I still think he's an incredible coach. When it comes to X's and O's, man, do you really want to match up with that guy? There's only a few, maybe Sean McVay. If we're just talking about give me an in-game plan, what is it that we're going to do to win a game? I mean, he can go X's and O's with the best of them. When it comes to personnel, he's got some warts. When it comes to, you know, whether it's Trey Lance, whether it was Reuben Foster, whether it was the sort of players he didn't draft, I mean, he's in that same grouping with everybody else that missed out on Deshaun Watson and Patrick Mahomes. He has not been good in terms of assessing personnel. Maybe take that, you know, take that out of his job description. Because I still think that when it comes to drafting up a game plan, the dude is so smart and smarter than most. But as far as assessing personnel, jury's still out on this guy.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, look, it's going to follow him everywhere, that meltdown in the Super Bowl, Falcons, Patriots. And then something similar happened against the Chiefs. You know, they should have won that game in the Super Bowl. And, you know, like, he's a good coach. I mean, what is his career record? I mean, he had a couple of dud years, but it was because of injuries. But typically, like, I think most people think Kyle Shanahan is a good coach. But he still has a couple glaring negatives on his resume, including that two Super Bowl losses. One, obviously, was as a coordinator. But they were both really bad losses. Like, his team should have won. And he put everything on Trey Lance. So once the reins get handed over to Trey Lance, if Trey Lance struggles, it's going to be all on Kyle Shanahan because that was Kyle Shanahan's pick. I mean, they traded three first-round picks for him.
So let's talk about Trey Lance because I continually hear Why isn't Trey Lance getting onto the field more? What's going on here? We thought we were having a two-quarterback system. Now, you had talked about, listen, that maybe was just the media that was sort of feeding that beast. Maybe it was the media that was perpetuating that myth. And he was leading us down that road so that he was giving, as he said in his press conference earlier this week, he was giving Detroit something additional to think about and prepare for, that he was using us. So now we're not seeing Trey Lance as often. I'm going to throw this out at you because I think that there might be an element of truth to this. I think that after week one against Detroit, and I'm talking about Jimmy Garoppolo and the Niners marched down the field, but it was Trey Lance that came in on that first and goal from like the 3-yard line, and then Trey Lance threw that one pass, and you and I could have thrown. Not to take anything away from Trey Lance, but he threw the touchdown pass.
Yeah, I would have completed that pass.
I think Jimmy Garoppolo, after that game, and maybe not him because he doesn't necessarily have, you know, maybe it's not in his persona. Maybe it was Kittle because I think he has the locker room. Somebody went in and blew in the ear of Kyle Shanahan and said, dude, don't do that again. We're not down. Maybe it was the preseason, but right now, stop doing that. Don't have our guy take us down the field and then you bring this kid in. Like, I'm not down with that.
Have you ever seen Varsity Blues?
Yeah.
Remember the running back, yeah. The workhorse running back, and every time they got to the goal line, they wouldn't give him the ball?
That's a good analogy.
Yeah.
You think there's any truth to that? Because all of a sudden, we're not seeing him as frequently.
Yeah, no, I mean, I don't know. That's definitely frustrating if you're Jimmy G. It happened in the Lions game and in the Packers game. Get all the way to the goal line, and then you put in Trey Lance. It's frustrating, but you know what? If it's working, it's working. I don't think I like the way Kyle Shanahan has used Trey Lance to this point, if we're being honest, because before the season, I got this idea that they were going to kind of use him as like the way the Saints used, what's his name?
Taysom Hill.
I can never remember that guy's name. And I was like, do not do that. Do not do that. Trey Lance is not a running back. He's a quarterback. Don't get him hurt. Don't like have him develop like bad habits per se. But now it's just they come in and they use him situationally every now and then. Like he got 4 snaps week one, no snaps week two, and I believe 3 snaps week three. Like that's fine. He's your backup quarterback. He can give the defense a different look in the red zone because he has that threat of his legs. So it puts a little pressure on the defense. I think he's been used the right way up to this point. But to your point, you're right. That has to be frustrating. You drive your team down the field, you get in scoring in the red zone, and you get pulled. It's annoying. If you have any semblance of pride, you're going to be annoyed. You might not show it because that might be detrimental to your team, but you're going to be annoyed. And I believe Jimmy G even spoke to that earlier this year. It's not ideal, but whatever is best for the team, I'm with it.
Yeah, which I think was sort of his subtle way of saying, I don't like it.
Yeah, exactly. It was. Because he kind of brought it up on his own.
Yeah. So do you think that Kyle Shanahan, because when you talk about he comes into these situations, it's almost exclusively to run. It's RPO.
Right.
And he throws, but it's a very safe pass. Do you think that Kyle Shanahan can entrust him at this point when he comes into a game, say it's in the middle of the field, not in the red zone, entrust Trey Lance to get into a 5 or 7-step drop, go through a progression, and throw a forward pass in an NFL game?
I don't. I mean, publicly he would say he does, but I don't think so. Because if he did,
neither do I.
If he did, Trey would be starting right now, number one. And number two, I trust my own eyes. And what I saw in the preseason was a quarterback whose eyes were still a little big. The game was a little too fast for him still. And he didn't look that good. He had some beautiful passes on a singular level. He had some great throws where you just saw the potential. But the totality of his snaps in the preseason did not scream, hey, I'm ready to take over the reins. Not to me. I was like, oh, this guy needs a little time. He needs a year. I mean, if Patrick Mahomes and Aaron Rodgers can sit for a year at least, Trey Lance definitely can too.
So you could be looking at a scenario where you have Jimmy Garoppolo, and Jimmy Garoppolo, this is who he is. He's the Tin Man when he gets back there, and as far as that When that pocket begins to converge, that's when things get scary, man, because he does not have the escapability. He cannot get to the edge. He cannot get a throw from different platforms. That, you know, just expect the worst when that guy gets under pressure, because that's when he's throwing these intentional grounding. They missed one. The officiating missed one against the Packers just before the end of the half. He had one the week prior against Philadelphia, and he just gets, you know, he is not in a comfortable spot. He doesn't have that ability to make something out of nothing. This is who he is, but he will do some really good things when he gets into a rhythm, and he can march your team down the field. But what you're looking at, I think, 49er fans, is Jimmy Garoppolo, who is this better-than-average quarterback, not a great quarterback, but a good quarterback. And then you could have a guy like that of Trey Lance, who is still very green. So it's sort of pick your poison. It's not as though whether you sign up with one or the other that it's going to be a huge difference maker as far as the 49ers winning games, and especially when it comes to Trey Lance. But when you're talking about Trey Lance, do you think that we're looking at the scenario all year long that with every bad pass, every bad series, there's going to be more and more groundswell to replace Jimmy G with Trey Lance?
Yeah, that's inevitable. Just the way this fan base is, and, you know, they've been – a majority of this fan base has been over Jimmy Garoppolo for like 2 years now, ever since that Super Bowl. Probably the breaking point for a lot of people was that bad ball to Emmanuel Mosley, who was wide open in the Super Bowl that could have won them the game. That was the breaking point for a lot of people. A lot of people just – they're past Jimmy. They want a new guy in there. So they're going to be screaming from Coit Tower or the Salesforce building every time Jimmy Garoppolo makes a bad pass. That's just inevitable. But I don't think any of that resonates with Kyle Shanahan. I don't think he cares. Like, Kyle Shanahan to Jimmy G is Kyle Shanahan's guy for the moment. Trey Lance will have his day, and it'll likely come next year unless Jimmy Garoppolo gets injured, which is, let's be honest, is that's
inevitable.
Yeah, you know, it probably will happen. And I'm not wishing injury on anybody, but if you just look at the history of his career, he's probably going to get hurt at some point. But Trey Lance will take over soon enough, but Kyle Shanahan, from the day he was drafted up until now, has not wavered in his opinion. The starting quarterback is Jimmy Garoppolo. Trey Lance is the backup. If Trey Lance finds himself starting, it's because something bad happened. Either Jimmy G got hurt, or Jimmy G was so bad that Kyle Shanahan had no other choice. But Kyle Shanahan wants Jimmy G to lead this team this year. That is just the black and white truth.
You know, I'm wondering, because we never really heard him say and come out with that declaration as he did this past week that Jimmy G is my starting quarterback. Stop this nonsense. Trey Lance is the backup. Do you think maybe after what happened this past weekend that influenced Kyle Shanahan make that bold statement? It wasn't necessarily that bold, but to come out and just provide some clarity. And what I mean by that, all those rookie quarterbacks that started were all bad.
Yeah.
Mac Jones throwing picks. Zach Wilson was terrible. Trevor Lawrence was bad prior to Thursday night. He looked good the other night against Cincinnati. But all those rookie quarterbacks, and I haven't even mentioned Mr. Fields, they were all really bad. And now suddenly Kyle Shanahan looks smarter than maybe he is, because he's not playing Trey Lance. All of a sudden, all the eyes are like at Kyle Shanahan and the Niners, and like, well, that's the way you should raise a quarterback, not play him. And maybe he was feeding off of that by once again reiterating, hey, I'm not starting my guy. You know, see what happened to those other rookie quarterbacks? Look what I'm doing over here. Do you think that sort of influenced what he said this past week?
Yeah, it definitely did. And just the fact, like, I don't know who asked him that question, but someone asked him a question, and they phrased it as like a quarterback competition, and Kyle Shanahan was like, there is no competition. There's no quarterback competition. We have our starting quarterback. It's Jimmy Garoppolo. And, you know, it is what it is. Whether you like it, you don't like it, you know, that's irrelevant, to be honest, because the head coach has in his mind who his starter is. So we'll see how it all pans out. But I personally don't think Trey Lance is ready to start. I think it's a good thing he's not playing right now. I think it would be bad if – I think the Niners would be a worse football team if Trey Lance was their starting
quarterback. Hey, if Trey Lance was given the keys and they said, hey, listen, that same scenario, you take us down the field, like Jimmy Garoppolo and stick it in the end zone. That ain't happening, Niner fans. I'll tell you right now.
Not a chance.
That's not happening with that kid. Not yet, at least. When we continue, we're going to load it up. That's right. Going to talk more about the Niners and the Seahawks. Here comes Russell Wilson. What do you got to do to stop this guy? I want to hear from you. 888-957-9570. What do you got to do to stop a guy that has been a Niner killer? The Seahawks. We're going to get into Chris Carson. We'll talk about this team. It's the Niners' opponent coming up in a matter of hours. Dan Avone, Jason Dumas, and 95.7 The Game. Don't move.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.